Small Business Spoonfuls is a twice-a-week Q&A with Lisa Smith, providing the answers to questions you have about running your small business.
Hello, welcome again to Small Business Spoonfuls. I hope everyone out there is having a great day, a great week, a great month, a great year. This is Lisa Smith coming at you from Atlanta, Georgia, as usual. So I am super excited to be speaking with you guys today. Oh my gosh, I just can't even believe how crazy things have been lately. We have just been so busy over here at BeAuditSecure.com, and we're coming out with all kinds of great news. The law is bursting at the seams, which is good for business, but oh my goodness, maybe not so good for your business sometimes. And so that's what we want to talk about today. I had a person who wrote in, and usually the questions that I get are, you know, honestly from business owners and managers, people who are in that position to sort of be the boss, the big boss, as I sometimes say. Well, the one I'm addressing today is a question that came in to me, and basically the question was, what can I do because Big Boss won't pay overtime? So, number one, thanks for writing that in. Number two, I love the fact that you use the term Big Boss, because Big Boss is one of my characters on BeAuditSecure.com that I often refer to in videos that I do and blog posts and courses I build and so forth. So Big Boss is like near and dear to my heart, and that shows you've been listening. So thank you for that. But the more troubling part of this question is that Big Boss won't pay overtime. So I didn't get a lot of detail from this person who actually gave this question, but let me just go ahead and give you some heads up if you're dealing with something similar, or maybe you're Big Boss and maybe you're the owner of the company or the person who's managing the whole show, and you're thinking that all of this overtime pay is not necessary. So one thing that really happens commonly when we get a lot of staffers who maybe are doing a great job and we're having high productivity, but they're putting in a lot of hours, is we have a tendency to kind of default to, well, let's just go ahead and put everybody on salary, and that way we don't have to worry about overtime. A lot of employers even justify that we're going to pay them more than minimum wage, so we'll make sure that we're clear there. Maybe they even go ahead and pay the equivalent of time and a half minimum wage. So in federally speaking, that would be, you know, what, $10.75 an hour roughly, something like that. So, you know, maybe you're going to kind of justify it like that, and that way you can say, for every hour worked, they've made time and a half, and you feel like you're covered. Well, that's not necessarily going to cover you. There may have been a time years ago when that thinking worked, and when the Department of Labor even allowed more and more types of flexible payment arrangements and so forth. But in today's world, with overtime being such a hot topic, the Department of Labor has basically just nullified, I mean, not on paper, but in their actions and in their the court cases that are getting settled. And so the judges, the Department of Labor, kind of the whole system put together, has basically come out and told employers, you really need to be careful before you decide not to pay someone overtime. So let's say that you're going to make someone set salary $11 an hour. Federally, that's, you know, time and a half or more. So, you know, we're doing okay there. And we think, well, if they work 40 hours a week, they're getting that. And if they work 50 hours a week, they're getting, you know, time and a half above minimum wage, which is what ultimately most folks are protected for, you know, at least theoretically. So we do that. We think we're okay. Maybe even an attorney advises us that we're okay with that. Maybe a CPA. Maybe your consultant you work with. Maybe it's, like I joke about my other character, Suzanne, who was someone I relied on years ago from another business, and she's been doing it for years, and that's the way she does it, and she's never been audited. You know, so maybe that's the advice we're getting from so-called trusted sources. Well, rethink that, because what's going to happen is the Department of Labor eventually is going to come in. Maybe they're going to audit you. Maybe you're going to get a complaint. And honestly, the complaint is really the way it's going to come. And when they come in, they're probably not going to listen to, oh, but we set their base wage at time and a half, so we're good. Probably not going to listen to that. What they're going to say of you is you have established a practice of the acceptable base wage being this, let's say, $11 an hour. And so that means anything over 40 should be paid at time and a half based on $11 an hour, not the federal minimum wage. So that's where it's going to catch you up there. And you may feel like, well, you know, we didn't understand or we didn't know. And that's not going to be any sort of an excuse at all, because the DOL is going to say ignorance of the law is no excuse. And therefore, you owe everybody a whole lot of money. Okay, so what you'll have to do is you'll have to figure out, you know, what the time and a half or what the overtime hours were for each employee going back most likely 3 years. And even employees that are no longer working for you, you will have to calculate their money that would be due to them from the time that they did work with you. And then you'll have to go out and try to find those people. If you can't find those people, then the DOL will cause you to hold that money in trust for a period of, you know, whatever it is, maybe 3 years, maybe 5 years. It kind of depends on the state you're in. Very common practice is 3 years federally, so that may be the situation you fall into. And then after that, the DOL takes charge of it and turns that money over to the Treasury. Now, I had always thought that money got turned over to unclaimed money in your state, but it turns out they have a whole little department over at the Treasury for unclaimed wages, and so they keep a database of people who've never collected their money. You can actually go onto the Department of Labor website and search, you know, unclaimed paychecks, or I believe the acronym for one of the departments is WOW, wages. Oh God, what is the term for that? Wages on of workers or something. I don't know. But anyway, just search WOW, you know, and it'll come up. But anyway, so there are a lot of different provisions for making sure people, even if they're not currently working for you, get paid. And so that's going to be like a whole thing. So depending upon how large your business is, it could cost you a lot of money when you have to go backward and pay everyone. Now, let me just say this as well. If during the investigation over this alleged non-payment of overtime, it's determined that you did have the ability to have an awareness, maybe there were managers and supervisors in your organization who had the awareness, maybe someone testifies, well, I tried to tell Big Boss and they wouldn't listen, or maybe multiple employees who have been the cause for this action to begin with, they've gone and complained, right? So maybe now they're all getting together and testifying, well, we talked about this over a period of the last 6 months or 2 years or whatever, and Big Boss ignored us. Big Boss said, no, this is the way it's set up. Maybe they say, we even brought evidence and Big Boss still ignored us. Well, then, you know, this is going to get really, really messy, because the messy part of this is ultimately, minimum wage and overtime guarantees under the law weren't really there. I mean, minimum wage was, but the overtime was not there. So you had an awareness, someone brought to your attention that you should be creating an awareness, even if you don't know what the law is. And at that point, keeping yourself ignorant of the law is no excuse in this type of an action. So we definitely want to make sure that we address these types of concerns when employees bring them to us, because that is going to be the determination of, do we just pay back wages and interest and taxes and all of that, or do we get hit with something called liquidated damages, which would possibly mean for us that we pay triple the amount that we would have normally had to actually pay out. So liquidated damages can get extremely costly. And when you get to that point, there is no safe harbor for you. There is none of this, you know, let me see if I can follow a checklist of rules to see if I qualify to have penalties reduced. you know, the bottom line is you need to get an attorney. But even then, if you haven't done your homework today and you haven't worked to audit secure your business, as I like to say, or lawsuit secure, it's the same thing. If you get a lawsuit, someone is going to audit you during this time. So audit securing applies to lawsuits. So if you haven't done this, then, oh my goodness, you are going to be in such a world of hurt if the determination is that your errors were willful and egregious and neglectful, and you get painted with this brush that says you knew or you had the opportunity to know or you should have known, and you just chose to willfully disregard your responsibilities to take care of the people under the law. Now that all sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? You're thinking, Lisa, I'm just about ready to turn your podcast off. And you know what? I don't blame you, because this stuff is hard to hear. You know, it's hard to hear, but I am on this podcast twice a week not to tickle your ears and not to feed you spoonfuls of sugar. No, I'm here to give you the truth. And sometimes the truth is hard to hear. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts the pocketbook a little bit. But you know what? If we get it done now, we handle it the right way now, our pocketbooks are going to be much safer down the road. So I want to give you some case in point on what's been going on lately with the law where all of this is concerned. Just a couple of these. So we have Ecolab, who is an organization out of California, and they employ all of these exterminators. Okay, so exterminators. And for years, exterminators have been paid on the basis of a salary because the employer says you're out in the field, it's hard to track your time, it's hard to know when you take a break and so forth. And so we're just going to pay you a salary, and then we don't have to worry about overtime and, you know, every little minute of the day. Well, that has worked off and on for years, but it doesn't work anymore. And Ecolab found that out the hard way. They are having to pay $7.5 million to settle this class action suit against them for non-payment of overtime. We also had another one that was just announced, and it's Pilot Travel Center. So if you travel much, you know that Pilot Travel Centers are across the country, and they have about 82,000 employees that have brought the class action suit because apparently Pilot Travel Center employees have been working off the clock and have not been paid for it, number one. And number two, apparently there is some proof that shows that Pilot has been actually working to conceal this time. So they've been hiding it. Maybe they've been rolling back time cards. I don't know what all the details are of this case, but whatever it is, it's going to be interesting when it all comes out, because we're talking about 82,000 plus employees nationwide. So the court has said you have standing, which means that we are certifying this class, and you can come before the court now and you can take them to trial, or you can make a settlement or whatever, but you have reason to bring this suit. So when that happens, what that basically means is the employer is guilty now until they prove they're innocent. So that's a very scary place to be in for an employer. So the next thing that's going to really happen here is their counsel for Pilot is going to come in and say, this would be a good time for us to agree on a number and settle it and get done with it, because knowingly rolling back these time cards and knowingly denying people of overtime and working to conceal it, you know, whatever, however that came about, that's egregious. That's willful. That is bad, bad, bad. So we're talking about liquidated damages. We're talking about three times the normal penalty, you know, and who knows what else may get tacked onto that. Sometimes they even tack on an extra 25% to pay the attorneys so that that money doesn't come out of the employee's settlement. Sometimes the money comes out of the settlement. But, you know, whatever deal is negotiated in a situation like this, this is really bad. So 82,000 employees, that is not going to be cheap. So maybe you're a small business and you think, I don't have 82,000 employees. Worst thing that could happen if I get caught is, you know, a couple grand or something like that. Well, okay, a couple of grand, and then everybody involved goes out and tells everybody in town, and that tarnishes the name of your business. I was teaching payroll law a while back out in the state of Texas. I'll just tell you that much. I don't want to out the business too much in their hometown. But anyway, I was teaching, and there was a company there that was a small business. They had probably 25, I think she said, employees, and had been in business for years and years. Well, they had a situation come up where there was a complaint with the Department of Labor about a person who was not being paid properly, and the overtime payment and so forth. And I believe they had to go back and pay her like $2,500. And that was for one person for a very short period of time. Actually, she only worked for them for about 6 months. And so $2,500 just for, you know, going back the 6 months, and they figured it out. But, you know, it didn't break the business, but the fact that they had to do it was bad enough. And they're a business in their community that a lot of people know about, and they're in one of these industries that you really feel like you should trust. They're in childcare. And so that's one of those industries you don't want to work with just anyone in childcare, because you figure if they're going to do something shady in one place, maybe they're going to hurt my kids, right? So any kind of bad publicity is damaging, you know, potentially fatally damaging to a business like that. And so she was really worried, and she was having to take care of business and try to do damage control, because it was just one of those things that happened. It was nobody's, you know, according to her, it was not an egregious act, and DOL didn't find it to be egregious either. But I felt like, you know, for a small business, that was a really good lesson, and she made some good points about protecting the reputation of the company. And so think about that with your company, even a couple thousand bucks, depending upon the size of the town and the number of people that know and the industry that you're in and how well you're trusted in the community. One piece of perception that says you cheated someone could potentially damage your business for years to come. Well, let's move on to a lighter note, because it is time for our regular feature, HR Superstar. Today in HR Superstar, we are going to be discussing a superstar moment in HR that I saw this week in a TV series right now that's a limited series that I'm watching, and it's called Wayward Pines. Have you seen Wayward Pines? Well, if you haven't yet, please go out and find it on one of your local networks, and you can go online. You can probably watch, well, you can watch the first few episodes, I think, on maybe Hulu, I don't know. I watched it on another type of subscription type service to get started, and then I picked it up as it was, you know, coming on regular TV. Now I TiVo it, but it's one of those limited series. It's got 10 episodes to it. I think we're up to episode 6 right now, and it's very suspenseful and very good. And I won't give you the whole thing, but there was a moment for HR Superstar this week in one of the episodes of Wayward Pines where a woman gets notified that she's supposed to report to work at a real estate company and in the town of Wayward Pines. And I won't tell you how that comes about. It sounds weird that I say she gets notice to report, but nevertheless, you'll figure it out when you watch it. But anyway, so she goes and she reports. And the first thing that happens when she walks in the door is the boss of the agency gets her attention by whistling at her and telling her, calling her honey and baby, and, you know, you're a lot easier on the eyes than the last person that worked here, and, you know, we're going to get along really well. And at one point, she delivers this home to a member of Wayward Pines, and he says, you're going to get a gold star if you go through with this deal effectively. So she does, and she comes back in, and he says, well, it looks like somebody earned a gold star. And she says, I thought you were kidding about that. And he has this big gold star, and he takes it and he presses it on, you know, her kind of chest area to kind of put the gold star there. And he kind of lingers for a minute and he looks at her. And so in HR, we know that that is huge. No. Okay. So we have here examples of sexual harassment. Obviously, we have examples of assault because he's now touched her person. We also have examples of, at the very least, hostile work environment where he might come back and say, well, I said you were easy on the eyes. I thought that was a compliment. You know, that's just the way I talk. I'm from the old days, and that was a compliment in the old days. But to her, her ears heard it as that was demeaning to me, and, you know, I should be treated as an equal in this workplace, and my looks should not come into play here. I'm a professional and blah, 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 right? So those are all very valid arguments today, and maybe they were valid, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, but they weren't observed. And so anyway, so HR superstar is given a glass breaking thumbs down moment to Wayward Pines for the way they conducted HR in the Wayward Pines real estate agency. So there you go, Wayward Pines. Thank you. Yay. Thank you for a bad example and helping us see what not to do. And thumbs down for the way you treated that little lady. Oh, there I did it too. For the way you treated that real estate professional who came in to do a job. There you go. HR superstar. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up Small Business Spoonfuls for today. I am so happy that you guys tuned in. Thanks so much. And I will see you in a few days. I'm Lisa Smith, and I am